All right, we are back, and you are listening to Talk with Francesca. We're going to continue the conversation with Susan Harrow, who has an innovative solution to stop sexual harassment now. Love that. Welcome, Susan. Thank you for joining us today on Talk with Francesca.
Such an important question and situation, and I'm so happy that all of this is coming to light now. So thank you for bringing it to everybody's attention.
So you say that you can use your intent to thwart any advance. What do you mean by that, Susan?
First of all, really, you want to think ahead and plan, prepare, and practice your responses. So many people don't think about role playing. Mm-hmm. We think about doing this in our head, but it's when you actually do it that it gets into the muscle and mental memory, your mental and muscle memory, when you actually are prepared for these kinds of situations. So your intent is thinking about ahead of time, you know, what am I going to do if this happens? And also really thinking about creating the kind of space where it doesn't happen. And that's everything from creating boundaries, meaning not just physical boundaries, but mental boundaries. And what I mean by that is that you want to be aware at all times of your distance to another person. In Aikido, we call it ma'ai, which means harmonious distance. What is the best distance between you and another person? And that's on the subway, that's in your office. You know, we hear a lot about in the sexual harassment, oh, he brushed up against me. Mm-hmm. You know, a man, well, we have the power as women to notice, is somebody starting to get too close? Is somebody starting to hover behind me? I need to move now and to avoid that situation. So it's actually setting up a situation where you're preventing the sexual harassment from happening before it ever does.
Do you think that women think about preparing that often?
Absolutely
because
not.
Because I think that it comes as a surprise, kind of, you know, out from left field. So it would seem to me that to preparing for something that they don't expect to happen wouldn't even exist.
What I'm saying is, yeah, so now we know how much it happens, right?
Of
so
course.
Now we can prepare. Okay,
yeah.
So maybe you're not prepared. And often that doesn't mean you're not going to be surprised. I'm still surprised. It happened to me, you know, the other day. So it's not like we're not going to be surprised, but we want to prepare for when we're actually surprised too. So this was something super small, but I was actually on the Aikido mat where we're very physical, and which means, you know, we're body to body. But there was this big guy that I didn't even know, and he had just introduced himself. He was like 6'6". And what does he do? He introduces himself, and he picks a piece of lint out of my hair. Not a huge deal, but an infringement of boundaries, right?
Yeah.
So it already happened, and it's already over. So the question is then, do you want to make a comment? Do you want to ignore it? Is it, you know, how do you feel about it? Is that something that you want to address right there and say, you know, I prefer that you don't pick lint out of my hair. Let's do the Aikido move. And you just move right on to, you know, let's do the technique that we're going to do right now. And you move right into the next step.
So was that what you did?
Not necessarily. No, sadly, I didn't. In that situation, and you know, I'm sorry I didn't. So I'm not perfect. I don't know every single thing. I thought a thousand things went through my mind. I just met this guy. I'm going to ruin the rapport that we already have. How important was it? Mm-hmm. He didn't do it in a way that was like, it was overly intimate, but it wasn't a huge deal. So I chose not to address that.
Mm-hmm.
In another situation, I might have.
Right.
You know,
how important is that? Right. That question,
The important question is how important is it to you?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That is the question.
And you know, I think that we do intuitively know the difference. You know, I mean, I work with guys and, you know, there are some guys that we joke around and it's no big deal. The intent,
that's
where
right.
It comes from, it's like a brotherly, sisterly thing, you know,
exactly.
but you know when it's inappropriate and, you know, I can say I haven't had to deal with that, thank goodness. But, you know.
Wow, you're one of the rare ones.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I have a strong personality. But, I mean, I think women who have strong personalities do still have that issue. And that confuses
me. I don't think it's a matter of a strong personality. Yeah.
That's what's so confusing.
And the,
like, Right.
I think, and you brought up a really important point. It really is important to you. And like, if you're feeling like, darn it, you know, I wish I would have stood up for myself. I wish I would have done that. Or you in your gut, ew, or ah, or ah. Those are, that is an indication to you. And if you feel icky about it after, you know,
right.
So you go, okay, the next time, there's nothing you can do about that situation, maybe, if it's already passed. But you say, okay, next time, how do I want to respond? What would have been the ideal response? And go through that. As a media trainer, this is what I talk to my clients about all the time. Let's see what you did well at a media interview, and what do you wish you changed, and next time you change it.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something, it's interesting. I, in listening to you talk about this little thing of taking lint out of your hair, I find mm-hmm. that offensive. And I'll tell you why. Because, put it like this, if you were... And although I suppose if I were with my sister and we were out shopping and there was a big piece of lint in my hair, she'd say, come here, you got a piece of lint in your hair. You know, but
yes,
there's something.
Or my best friend.
Yeah, but there's something
friend,
about.
My best friend said to me, I'm always touching your hair. He's gay. But, you know, I'm like, yeah, but you're my best friend. I know you don't mean anything by it.
Yeah, but
we've been best friends for 40 years,
yeah,
right?
But,
so that's not the same.
Yeah, but taking lint out of your hair seems very sort of. I can't even think of the word, but there's just something about it feels sort of inappropriate.
It's inappropriate because it's something a lover would do.
That's exactly right. It's a very, it's,
or a sister.
It's something intimate. But anyway, okay. So I'm super curious about your simple two-step system that takes, you say, 60 seconds that a woman can use in any situation to prevent sexual harassment or assault, including the butt grab. So tell us.
Yeah. So the first thing is when somebody says something to you, to address it on the spot, right then and there. Mm-hmm. And that is without addressing any kind of judgment, their intent, assuming any kind of intent, and not including your feelings. So you might say, if somebody is about to grab your butt or has already grabbed your butt, you say, I don't want you to do that ever again. And then the second part of that is, I want to have an agreement with you that this will never happen again between us. The only time I want you to touch my body is at a handshake. Can we agree on that? Mm-hmm. And to do it with no tone, no attitude. Don't go, if I want you never, ever, ever to touch my butt again.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, but so, you know what? I can see how some women would be intimidated if that were their boss, or no matter how gentle or how firmly you say it without any kind of emotion or accusatory mm-hmm. sounding, you are still to some degree making that person feel uncomfortable. And that's when I think women get scared. Are they going to lose their job? Which seems to be some of the stuff that's been going on, right?
That's exactly right. And it's not our responsibility as women to stop other people for other people's feelings, or it's not our responsibility to take care of other people's feelings.
Right. Easy for us
so
to say we're self-employed. Right.
It's not my issue if my boss feels uncomfortable.
Right.
That's his issue.
Right.
So the first thing we need to do is to stop taking responsibility for other people's feelings.
Yep. Yep.
If he feels uncomfortable, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do it in a way that perhaps precludes that if possible. But if not, and yes, we have to consider in all of this, is my job going to be in jeopardy, and is this worth it to me? You know, so, I mean, there are 1,000 decisions that we need to make, and there's not one right one for each person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that there may be a boss who might fire her on the spot, and there's another boss who might be able to hear it and say, oh, you know, I didn't realize that bothered you, or that was inappropriate. And 1,000 responses in between that we're also not responsible for. And those are the kinds of decisions that we make every single day as women. It's not right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what and what do I want to accomplish from this? So we're always also looking at our end goal. Is it, you know, if I say something for something that is a little bit, you know, off, am I going to lose my job? And is that worth it to me? And should I start looking for a new job right now? Because this may not ever stop.
Right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talk with Francesca. I'm speaking to Susan Harrow, and we're discussing sexual harassment and what you can do about it. Ladies, I would encourage you to get a pen and paper and take notes. Susan, have you written a book?
Yes, Sell Yourself Without Selling Your Soul.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's about how to promote yourself with integrity and spirit. Oh, yeah. And I did. I actually have written a book called True Shield, Verbal Self-Defense for Girls. That's for girls 12 to 24. And that is, we're talking about this exact same topic, to start training our girls at 12 and younger. So these kinds of situations, whenever they arise, your daughters and your sisters and your cousins and your friends will all be prepared for these situations that are so common today.
Oh, Susan, I would love if I could be so bold. I should have asked you this beforehand. But I would love if the 10th emailer to me could receive that book.
Absolutely. It's an electronic book, so they can absolutely receive it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Okay, great. Okay, so let's see. We're moving on because I don't want to miss anything here. So you say there are five stances that you should assume in any situation to make sure no means no. What are they? And that's part A. And part B of that question would be, and what makes them so persuasive?
Yeah. So often we accede or agree without even being conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
What the five things that we need to think about and practice, and this is where we come into the role play again, because sometimes we don't even know that this is happening, is your face, your eyes, your body, your tone, and your words all need to be in alignment with the no. And what I mean by that is an example might be, you know, you say no and smile and cock your head. So when we say a full body no, we want to be standing straight. We want to be looking straight ahead. Everything in alignment, meaning that your
right.
whole core is strong.
Yep.
So that would be an alignment. You know,
yeah.
I was just watching a Krav Maga, which mm-hmm. is official self-defense system for the Israeli forces. It was a demo. And it was two guys and a girl. And the two guys demonstrated first. And the man that he was demoing with, he didn't smile. He was totally focused. He was wearing a T-shirt and loose shorts. Like the woman who was being attacked, she was wearing body-hugging spandex. You could see the crack in her bum and a little thing where she showed her midriff. And whenever she attacked the guy, when the guy attacked her, and she was smiling. And she wasn't giving her full intent, meaning she wasn't blocking the punches with her full body. And she was smiling. If you are smiling while you are being attacked, or you're smiling when you're saying a no. Now, there are times when you might want to smile and say a no. Again, this is a situation that might be something to soften for your boss.
Yes.
You know?
I hear you.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So that might be a situation where you smile and say, I prefer you didn't touch me. And there might be a soft smile and
yes.
soft eyes.
Yes.
Right? Whereas
right.
if it's an attacker, you're going to give hard eyes and you're going to say, don't touch me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your eyes are fierce.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two different no situations, right?
Yep. Okay. So, yeah. But you say there are five stances.
Yeah. Did I say face, eyes, body, tone, words? Is that five? One, two, three,
okay.
four,
okay.
five. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
no, okay.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. It's early. All right. So you are a black belt in.
And can I just say one quick thing? Because that's great that you like address that. And so that's a situation too, where like somebody challenges you. So that would be a great situation, like not to get defensive, to say, you know, what do I need to look at here? Right.
And
to maintain your equanimity.
Absolutely.
So, because men, you know, the difference between men and women and, who wrote, Deborah Tannen wrote this a long time ago. Men often challenge women not to put them down, but to see if they can take it
mm-hmm.
in meetings and things like that. So an understanding of the dynamics of how things work, too. So it's not, if we don't get defensive, we hold our own, we have a strong stance in a situation where we perceive we're being, quote unquote, attacked verbally or our ideas shot down in a meeting, that's when we can, that's why the role play is so important. It's like getting used to people shouting at you. I train my clients like that for the Bill O'Reillys of the world. I've trained people for Bill O'Reilly. What happens when somebody's shouting, you know, interrupting you? This is maintaining your equanimity and being still able to get out your point in a way that we can still maintain our femininity and grace.
Right. Susan, you're a black belt in Aikido, Japanese martial arts. When we come back, I want to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, but I'd love for you to share with us the martial art moves that can save your skin. So listeners, stay with us here. We will be right back. Your body is not the only part of you that needs training. Your brain needs it too. Decision-making and focus are one of the most important skills to accomplish your goals in life. Combat Brain Training is the first targeted neuroplasticity training that actually improves your cognitive ability to observe, decide, and act better and faster. Unlike digital-based programs that research shows create minimal or no real-world benefits, it incorporates portable handheld training tools that utilize all parts of the brain. 100% of the people who have followed the program report significant improvements in performance regardless of starting cognitive baseline. This program is perfect for anyone looking to accelerate their thinking process and really focus more effectively on any task at hand. Don't wait any longer. Go to combatbraintraining.com and find out more.
The new Cobblestone Cafe on Hanover Street in Boston brings casual, on-the-go American fare to the North End, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Open daily at 7 a.m., Cobblestone Cafe offers burgers, barbecue, salads, fries, milkshakes, seafood, and the very popular Snickerdoodle iced coffee. Delivery and catering are also available. Cobblestone Cafe, 227 Hanover Street in Boston. For more information, call 857-263-8057 or visit them online at cobblestonecafene.com.
Captain Lord Mansion is the ultimate bed and breakfast experience. It's the only AAA four diamond bed and breakfast in Kennebunkport. But it's so much more. It's the perfect, elegant, romantic getaway. Relax at their day spa. Be pampered in your room with heated floors, jetted showers and tubs, gas fireplaces, king and queen beds, flat screen TVs, and all the quaintness with all the modern conveniences. Be surrounded by impeccable gardens, waterfalls, fountains, a putting green, a charming gift shop, wine cellar, the list goes on and on, including a full three-course breakfast. This is a stay that you will never forget. Engage in our special offers. Call 207-967-3141. 207-967-3141. CaptainLordMansion.com. In Kennebunkport, Maine, memories and elegance await you.
Talk with Francesca. I'm speaking with Susan Harrow. We're discussing this very important Me Too movement and sexual harassment and what we can do about it, how we can take responsibility for it not happening. So a big welcome back to you, Susan.
Yeah, great. I love this. I love this martial arts move because every woman can do it because it doesn't take strength or It doesn't take strength and it doesn't have anything to do with size. That's the beauty of Aikido, Japanese martial arts. So this one is if somebody grabs you like on your arm or your wrist, you can do what's called the pinky grab. The pinky is the least strong of our fingers.
Yeah.
And the kind of angle is if you just grab the pinky and gently, because you don't actually want to break it unless it's an attacker, right? If it's a person in your office. So you can just grab the pinky and pull the hand off of you. And it's very, very simple. So it's just grabbing the pinky and pulling it off in the opposite direction. So that one can really save your skin in and out of the office. There are a couple more if you want me to talk about.
Yeah, you're very into this, I know, because I've read a lot of your stuff. And it's just like, wow, maybe I think I'll look this up. And I did in my area. I did look it up. But they don't have Ikea. Aikido.
They should have it in your area.
Maybe it's a martial art. Maybe it's within the martial arts school. I don't know, but it was pretty interesting. So I was like,
It's a fascinating thing for women because of the size and strength issue, and also because you use your attacker's force to throw them or pin them. So it's not about punching somebody in the face. It's about getting them off balance, which is what we're doing in sexual harassment too. Sometimes, you know, we're using humor for getting somebody off balance. Sometimes it's a look. In this case, you know, the pinky grab, it's kind of startling. It's like, oh, somebody's actually physically touching me back, you know, to meet my own physicality. The second one would be what I call the hand blade. And this is something, and these are all modified moves from Aikido. But if somebody is shaking your hand, and sometimes many of us have had this situation where the person starts to pull you in for a hug or pull you in for a kiss. So what we automatically want to do is to pull back because we want to resist. And that's natural. And so this is where the practice comes in. Instead of resisting, you go with. Somebody's pulling you in for a kiss. You've just shaken their hand. Your hand is in a blade formation. So you start moving in toward their center as your hand, as a blade, which pushes them back. Because they're already going in that direction. So you, if they're hugging you and pulling you, you're going like this. So they will trip back and you will be able to create that distance between you. It's something that it goes counterintuitive to what we think, because we think we want to pull away.
Right. Yeah.
And that, And that's, and so it's unexpected. And so that other person will not be expecting that either, you know, for you to be doing that. So your hand is going into their center or their chest.
So that's kind of the issue with the unwanted, that's a way to handle the unwanted hug.
That's a way to handle the unwanted hug.
Would you do,
and it's very, very effective.
Would you do that?
Or a grab.
Yeah. Well, what about if it was just totally different? Like, what if you're just not one of these huggy kind of people and you're at it's the holidays and somebody wants to hug you. And I was just having a conversation with my sister the other day. She said, I'm tired of all these Christmas parties. She's got a rotten call. I'm tired of all these holiday parties, these Christmas parties. Just everyone's hugging and they got me sick. And I don't want to hug anybody anymore, you know? So this is just a little side note here, but would you use that if you in a situation where you just don't want to be hugged?
Yeah, but you can also use even as a stop sign, your hand holding up in a stop sign, you know. One woman wrote in because I was writing an article about this. She just said, oh, I'm not a hugger.
Oh, I don't say that. I just say, oh, I've got a cold. I don't want to give you my germs.
Strategy, that's a great strategy too. But, you know, you can say, I'm not a hugger. You can put up the stop sign, say, you know, or just, you know, that can be even nonverbal. You know, you put up a stop sign, wait, and then then I would, to be gracious, move into a handshake. So somebody's coming to your hug, stop sign, handshake. That would be very gracious. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that you can actually step back or go sideways if somebody's coming into you. You know, and so the sideways is completely unexpected.
I think you should do a YouTube thing with these moves.
I did do.
Oh, you did? Oh, you did?
Yeah. In the Prevent Sexual Assault Vault.
Oh, okay, good. Because that was the next thing I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you about you've created a Prevent Sexual Assault Vault and Not Me movement. What's in the vault and how can it help women to be more assertive and stay safe?
Yeah, so I created about 12 videos, and then I'm also asking women about all these different things, the unwanted hug, what to say, how not to be interrupted, what happens if someone calls you sweetheart, someone grabs your shoulder. All of these things are demonstrated at the Prevent Sexual Assault Vault at PRSecrets.com. And I created it for women so they can go up there and see they can see the martial arts moves. They can use the verbiage that I've created up there. And then the hashtag not me movement it's inclusive of the me too. It's for women who have actually spoken up and stood up. And there are now some examples in there of women, and because there's so many varieties of these, everything from I have one that a woman was being raped by her best friend, you know, attempted rape by her best friend and how she escaped. And another one was, you know, chased by a guy on the street. You know, so there's these situations where women have very creative solutions that I wanted to show you that there are so many ways that we can start to think about when we have this repertoire. Mm-hmm. This is where the practice comes in, that we can stand up and speak up for ourselves in all of these different ways. And these women are great examples. So if any of your audience has one, you know, a time when you stood or spoke up for someone, please email it to me. And that information is all on my website at prsecrets.com, and I'll pop up your video so other women can have access to it too.
So we just have about 3 minutes left, and there's just still so many more questions that I want to ask you. But one question I want to ask you is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to make sure that our listeners pick up?
Well, I think the one thing, and I don't know if I put this on our list of things to talk about, but I'd like to talk about, I think it's on our mind, two things. One is I really feel very strongly that the punishment should fit the crime. I think we've gone in the other direction, mm-hmm. where men are being punished for things. The punishment is far too great for the sexual harassment or the sexual assault. We want to make sure, some people might be angry at me for saying that, but I really want you to think about, if this were your husband or your brother, and he had said, you know, told a joke inappropriately to someone, does that really deserve that he's fired? Or is that a case for him to be re-educated? And by education, I don't necessarily mean the HR department. I also mean you. As a sister, as a woman, as a friend, to say, hey, you know what? That comment could kind of get you in trouble. I don't find it offensive, but somebody might.
You know what, Susan? I have to just interject here because I want to thank you so much for that, because this has been, it's funny, you know, as this has come up, you know, this has been lurking sort of in the back of my mind. And there's a part of me that, you know, has really wanted to say this and has sort of hesitated a bit. And even off the air, I've had this discussion, you know, I'm a woman, you know, and I want to see that women are safe and are not violated. But I appreciate what you're saying, that, you know, that's right. It isn't always offensive. And I've had these conversations, you know, with men before, like, you know, that's not offensive to me, but some women would get really uptight about that. A guy calls me honey, I don't know. I don't get too bent out of shape about that. As a matter of fact, my car was hit not long ago when I just sideswiped, and I was getting it fixed. And the guy who fixes it, old guy, you know, an older man from Italy, and he called me honey. You know, I took it for what it was worth. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Like, you know, this is where he's coming from, and you know, there's nothing about, I mean, yes, like, ugh. But, you know, again, that's where the intent comes in too, you know, and a culture, you know, a culture of where someone is from as well. So I really very much appreciate you saying that. And I'd be curious if guys are going to start coming out now. Well, you know, she sexually harassed me, because women do it too, right?
They do. And I think that, you know, the other question is, you know, why is it the job of women to teach women to behave? But, you know, I want to share with you an example of one of my clients gave me. She's in the military, and she was in charge of the women coming to sexual, you know, discuss sexual assault. And they, you know, there were all of these women who came up and talked about this man who had put his hands on their shoulders inappropriately. And they were discussing the most important thing, is that made them feel uncomfortable. And I said, yes, did anyone tell him that they didn't want that, that it wasn't appropriate? No. And so this to me would be a case for education. It would be education. Again, if it's not your boss, if it's someone else in a managerial position, we need to take all of that into consideration. But what if all of those 20 women had said, I don't want you to touch me on the shoulder. You know, I prefer that we just handshake, and please don't come behind me and touch me on the shoulder. End of story. And can we agree on that? And he might have said, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. And okay, that's one response, right? Or, you know, I don't see why I can't do that. You know, there's a variety of responses, and then you deal with that.
Exactly.
Then,
Susan, we are out of time. I am so sorry.
No.
I wish we could go on forever, but real quick, give our listeners your website so that they have a place to go.
It's prsecrets.com, and the Prevent Sexual Assault Vault is there with the hashtag Not Me movement, and also the True Shield Verbal Self-Defense course for girls who are 12 to 24, and that's for everyone as well.
It's been a pleasure having you on Talk with Francesca today. Thanks so much. Okay.
Me too.
All right, it's time to wrap things up. We've got to say goodbye. There was so much important information in the show today. I hope you caught the whole show. If you didn't, you can mosey on over to iTunes. You can go to Talk with Francesca, my website, and go to recent shows, your pick. But do listen to the whole show because lots of great information. See you next week, same time, same place. Make it a great week.